This morning's reading is from page 1066. It's John 4. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. So it's page 1066, John 4, verses 1 to 26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Amen. Praise the Lord.
In the series of celebrating God, we are going to see now the I am sayings of Christ. All these I am sayings occur only in the John's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they portrayed Jesus, what he said and what he did, rarely addressing about his inner motivation. But this John, the gospel writer, he portrays us Jesus' self-identity and his inner life. And this is the gospel, John's gospel, give us an insight into see how Jesus has been viewing about himself, how he is declaring about himself. In general, The biblical scholars, they say that there are seven I am sayings in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. And I am the vine. But there is one more I am saying in the same gospel, which is very much important. And it comes in the early chapters of John. And it is about I am He. From Diane's reading, we heard that Jesus was responding to the Samaritan woman, I am He whom you are referring to. So we are going to meditate about I am He today, and then we will get into the rest of the I am sayings in the following weeks. Have you heard about people talking to each other for a long time, but something irrelevant to what they are talking each other? I want to try with one of the volunteers to show you how it is going to work out. Can I take you, Lata? Thanks, Lata. So I'm going to ask you one question, and it will be from the Bible, and you will be answering the question from the Bible itself, but not at all relevant to what I am saying. Yeah? Let the people watch us, how it is giving us meaning. Yeah? Sometimes funny, sometimes it will be sad. Shall we start from Christmas? Yeah. Who is Mary?
Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah. Is that Jesus died on the cross after the Passover?
Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Okay, so is that the area coming under Judea or Israel?
God told Jonah to go to Nineveh.
Good, so Jonah was a prophet?
He was Jesse's son, Samuel.
David
was Jesse's son.
David was Jesse's son. Oh, okay. Solomon, who is Solomon then?
Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden.
Fantastic. Well done, Lata. So this is how. You won't get any meaning at the end, isn't it? So in the passage we read from John 4, it is about giving a similar kind of conversation. What was happening between John and the Samaritan woman. Between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Changing the story. You influenced me, Lata. So Jesus was asking the Samaritan woman, will you give me a drink? The direct answer could be either yes or no. But the Samaritan woman was replying to Jesus, you are a Jew. I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? How can you ask me for a drink? That was the question. What could be the answer? Jesus could have answered, yes, I am thirsty, so give me the water. Or he could have said, yeah, I just realized I shouldn't have asked you. Sorry about that. I'll go and get somewhere else. But Jesus responded, if you know who that is asking you the drink, you would have asked him the water and he will give you the water. If I am in the Samaritan woman's place, I would have asked Jesus, hang on a minute. I am confused. You came before to me and you asked me for the water because you were feeling thirsty. But now you are saying that you are going to give me water. I'm confused. But the Samaritan woman replied in a different way. She was saying to Jesus, you don't have anything to draw the water from the deep well. The woman, for her, it seemed foolishness to draw the water from the deep well without any means. Her vision stretched no beyond than a bucket. However, Jesus was replying to that Samaritan woman about the living water on a spiritual note, that anyone who drinks that living water, they will not feel thirsty again. They will not feel dry anymore, and their spiritual life will be rejuvenated. But this Samaritan woman misunderstood the term, the living water, on a physical note. And she replied Jesus about the water she is seeing in the well, and she was saying that we have been quenched from this water, the well what Jacob has given to us. Jacob was quenched, Jacob's sons were quenched, and Jacob's living stocks were quenched. So why is it about? So she was going something away from what Jesus was talking to her. About that, she was asking Jesus, are you greater than our father Jacob? They were talking about living water, and the Samaritan woman somewhere went there asking for, are you greater than our father Jacob? Sometimes we too go away from our track in our spiritual life, even in our daily life, from what we are doing. We will be distracted and diverted, and we will be going away from that. When she said about the Jacob, his sons and living stock were fed by the water there, Jesus realized that. Instead of replying the question what she asked, whether he is greater than Jacob, instead of replying her directly, Jesus went into a deep theology there about living water. And Jesus was saying to her, this water, whoever drinks that, there will be, the water will be become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This poor woman did not get understand what he was talking about. What is about living water? What it is going to do for eternal life? She was confused again. And she was telling to Jesus, well, if it is going to quench my thirst permanently, can you please give me that water? Let me drink it so that I don't need to come to this well again. Jesus had patience, isn't it? So whenever she was going away from the track, Jesus could bring her back to the track where his motivation was. And she was telling her again, it is not about quenching your physical thirst. And he was telling her, can you go and bring your husband? He got her nerves. Whatever we ask, she is going to go away from my conversation. Let me go to her track and bring her back. This is our God, the grand weaver, would do always. Have you seen the tapestry at the back? Always it looks very messy. It goes zigzag lines and nothing, no perfect pattern can be seen. We are on the other side. And we see that how the life is messed up, where it is going, I have no clue at all. But God, from the other side, he knows where the threads are going, he knows where to pull in there, where to put it in the track. And finally we can see a beautiful pattern. That is the life he is drawing for you and myself. And Jesus replied her again, he must be a man of humor. And he knows how to build conversation with the strangers. His motivation was to explain about the good news to the people, those who are not known about that, and also about the kingdom values. So after the woman realized that Jesus knows about her inner life, that he knows that she has had 5 husbands, and the one she is now living with is not her husband either. After knowing that, the woman realized, how could he know all about my private life? He must be a prophet. So she was asking him back, are you a prophet? And then she was saying something relevant to what the prophet does, something relevant like worshiping God, something about the scripture. So she decided, okay, let me talk something relevant to this prophet. So she was saying to him, we worship God in this mountain, but you Jews insist us to go and worship in Jerusalem. Jesus finally got it. Yes, she has come to my track now. And Jesus was answering her, worshiping God is not about the place. It is about worshiping God in spirit and truth. And he was explaining like how to worship God in spirit and truth, what God is expecting. The women became again clueless, and she was telling her like, yeah, we have been waiting for a messenger to come and explain us all these things. We have been waiting for that. Okay, let us see when the Messiah comes. Finally, he had to disclose, I am he. And he was saying that, I am he, I the one speaking to you. I am the Christ, the Savior. I am the one who has brought a good news for you. I am the bringer of salvation. Finally, he disclosed, I am he whom you were all waiting. I am the Messiah. In this story, we can see that Jesus was taking an interesting adventure, crossing many boundaries. This story, this anecdote, is a synopsis of his schematic salvation plan. The bigger picture of salvation is summarized in a smaller version in this narrative. And when Jesus was coming out from heaven to earth, he had to firstly cross the heavenly boundary. From heaven to earth, he has to choose this extreme contrast place from where he was coming from. He had to leave all his divine glory and he had to step into this heavenly boundary. But based on that, he has narrated, John, the gospel writer, he has narrated in different ways Jesus crossed the boundaries when he was encountering with the Samaritan woman. Firstly, geographical boundary. Here, Judea is in the south, and Galilee is in the north, and Samaria is in between these two. In this story, Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee. In those days, people usually prefer to travel along the coastal side, because they find it easy for transportation. So either they travel along this Mediterranean Sea coastal side, or they will choose something like the coastal side on the Jordan River to go from south to north. In addition to the comfort, Jewish people do not prefer to go through Samaria. They do not want to have any dealings with the Samaritans because they consider the Samaritans as the outcast people. So they know that it will take a long distance to travel along the coastal side than traveling across Samaria, but still they preferred to do that because they do not want to have any dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus here preferred to cross through Samaria. He wanted to break that barriers. He was breaking the barriers of prejudice. He was breaking the barriers what man-made systems. And his motivation was to bring the good news to the outcast people, whomever they man have called. He wants to bring the salvation to the Samaritans, crossing the boundaries. Because the power of the gospel is beyond all these boundaries. And here, Jesus is not traveling on his own from Judea to Galilee. He was going with the team of members, with his disciples. So I presume by then the disciples have understood how to cross these geographical boundaries to enter into the system where they have never stepped in to take good news to the people. What's a training he has given already to the disciples? Secondly, cultural boundaries. Who were these Samaritans? Where did they come from? Samaritans, ancestrally, they claim that they are the descendants of the tribe of Ephraim and tribe of Manasseh. Have you heard those names, Ephraim and Manasseh? They're the tribes of Joseph, sons of Joseph. So they claim that they are from their ancestral side. And Samaritans, in Hebrew, it means guardians, keepers, and watchers of the Torah. The Torah is the first five books in the Bible called as Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So they were given these five books and they were keeping that. So they were belonging to Israelites. They were not suddenly coming as an outcast people, what men were calling in those days. When Jacob had 12 tribes, and when the 10 tribes were carried as a captivity to Assyria, the king of Assyria sent the foreign people from all these places, Babylon, Kutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim. These are all foreign peoples. What this king of Assyria did, he brought all those foreigners to come and live among the Israelites in the Samaritan area. So he allowed them to inhabit the land of Samaria. When the foreigners entered into this land, they started having intermarriage initially, and the culture was exchanged, and everything was mixed together. What the bad thing happened, the Israelites who lived in and around the Samaria, they started worshipping idols. They started worshipping the gods whom those foreigners were worshipping. So the Jews, they thought that Samaritans were despised before their eyes. And Samaria became a land of refuge. And what the Samaria did, they embraced people coming from Judea, those who were outlawed. Whoever they are, criminals, they were violating the religious and system rules in Judea, the Samaritans were embracing them. So all those people, those who were excommunicated, those who were called as the outlawers, they were coming and finding a place in Samaria as a safe place for them. So the Jews, they hated Samaritans. The hatredness started growing. So for all these causes that arose, the Samaritans and the Judeans, to become rival against each other. So Judeans, Jewish people, they don't want to have any dealings with them. They consider them as a low cost and societally low, and we should not have anything with them. But we know now from the history, they were Israelites. They were once Israelites. What corrupted them because of the other gods, what they started to worship, it became an idolatrous practice. Jesus, he did not leave them as man-made system, like let them live there, let me come there to save only Jewish people. No, he wanted to save them because the salvation is for everyone. It is not for the particular people. It is not for the people, those who have man categorized. He wants everyone to be equally receiving the salvation. He came to save the whole world. So the cultural boundary was crossed. Before him, there is no partiality. Thirdly, gender boundary. In those days, Jewish men talking to women is highly forbidden. Even in the synagogues, they have a separate place for men and women to worship. And we have heard, read in the scripture, the women will be sitting in one separate place and they can listen, they can know what the preacher or priest is doing, but they cannot come and associate with the men in the main place where they are worshipping. So there was a big discrimination. It was a patriarchal, male-dominated society. Jesus, he crossed that barrier as well. And if you read the verses following in the same John chapter 4, the disciples went to get some food for Jesus, and Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman. The disciples came back and saw him talking with the woman, and they were surprised. He was saying that they were surprised because it was the culture. During that time, men cannot talk with any woman, and that too, the Samaritan woman, and that too, Jesus said she has had 5 husbands. So thinking all about that, they were really surprised what Jesus is doing with this woman. It was a society like that. Even now, there are some systems keeping men and women separate. Even in the Islamic places of worship, places of gathering, still there is a segmentation, even in the 21st century. Last month, we were invited for a Muslim wedding. We were really happy. And one of our friends, Muslim friends' daughter, she was getting married, so they gave us invitation and they called us for their nikah celebration. So Dhoni, Kevin and myself, we dressed up nicely because we are going for a wedding after a long time and it is an Islamic wedding. So we went with full of enthusiasm. We went there. Once we arrived the place, there was a man stood in the reception and he said, he looked at me and he said, okay, you go upstairs. And I said, yes. And he looked at Dhoni and Kevin and he said, you both, you go this side. I don't know anyone there. So I was left alone. So I thought, okay, let me go upstairs. So I went there. It was a beautiful hall. They have decorated nicely. Fantastic. So I went there. I saw there all women. No problem for me. So they were there. They were nicely dressed and they were sitting in big, big tables around. And I don't know anyone. I was standing there. I thought, okay, let me at least find bride's mom, whom I know well. So I thought, okay, let me go and talk with her. So I was going and finding 90% of the women, they have covered with the hijab and they have covered with the headscarf. Some people have covered because they're from that tribe, Sunnah and Shia. So there was some different groups. So I was having a treasure hunt there to find where the bride's mom is. But finally, I could not find it. I failed it because everyone looked same for me. So I thought, okay, what am I going to do? I have no place to sit as well. I thought, okay, let me go to the car park and sit in the car until these two guys finish their lunch and they will take me anywhere. So I was thinking, and finally I saw that the bride was sitting up there, the groom was there at the downstairs, they were signing in the same register, but one after the another, and the imam, the preacher, was downstairs, and he was preaching, and we all women could hear through the speakers. It was a different experience. It was a wonderful experience. So still, in 21st century, in some of the customs they have, men should be separated from women. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. What a privilege to follow Jesus the Christ. What an honor he has given us. There is no division, no segmentation, no partiality, nothing. Before his eyes, we are all same. We are all formed in the same image of God. Salvation is same for everyone. Finally, moral boundary. It is not that Jesus crossed his moral boundary. His salvation is available even for the people, those who are standing in the other place, going through immoral values. When Jesus was there, you can remember from the readings, the Samaritan woman came to the well during noontime. This is an unusual time, around 12 o'clock in the middle of the day. Usually people go there either in the morning before sunrise or after sunset in the evening to fetch water. But this woman went in an unusual time, in the middle of the noon, in the sunlight. You know her background now. The one who she is living now is not her husband. She has had 5 husbands before. So she was replying, Jesus, whom should I bring if you ask me to bring my husband? And the society, even in the Samaritan, within the Samaritan society, she was going through tough time. She could not face the public. She could not come before the public time, any open time, to face anyone. She was hiding herself behind, and she was feeling shy and shame. She was vulnerable. It was so sorry to hear her news. But Jesus was talking with her. Geographically he crossed. Culturally he crossed. Although he belonged to Jews, he didn't mind about what Jewish men will think about him. He went and talked with the women, crossing the gender boundary. And finally, even if you are not good, I came to seek the lost and rescue the sinners. That is the salvation all about. In Matthew, he says that the sick people do not need a doctor. So I came to see the sick people. If you are all perfect, then my mission is not valid. So I have come to seek the lost. So she could converse with that people. A statistic was taken recently from a Christian theologian students with the secular people, asking, what do you think about Christians? And why you are not going to church? 2 questions. Majority of the people replied, we think the Christians are holy, divine, pure, someone like separated group. So we feel very difficult to go and associate with them in the churches. So we are avoiding to go to church. I don't know where they got this idea from. The church, how we are going to welcome? How we are going to welcome the outcast in the society? Not we called, man, somewhere, sometime, they called it. And moral boundaries, who are we to judge? And who are we to say that he is a sinner, she is a sinner, and I am pure? We don't have any value of judgment, only God can judge. So when a new person entering into our church, even after knowing all these values they have, can we cross the boundaries like Jesus crossed? If we are celebrating Jesus today in the church as a series of celebration, we have celebrated from January and it is going until December. So if we are celebrating, the fullness, the completion of celebration can happen only when we cross all these boundaries and taking the good news to the people, those who are vulnerable, and anyone if come into us, welcoming them. The church should be a shelter for downtrodden people. The church should be a comfort-giving place for a trouble-minded. We are all weak and fragile. We are all not perfect people. I would prefer if a premises coordinator or anyone planning to put a board in the church, there can be something like, welcome to the imperfect society. We are all not perfect. God alone is perfect. And we are celebrating today for his perfectness, for the salvation he brought. He is the Messiah. He is the bringer of salvation. Amen.